The Haines Planning Commission ponders a Chilkat Lake Road helipad, and the weather puts a hold on the start of the crab season. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Planning Commission on Thursday will discuss whether to permit a helipad on Chilkat Lake Road. Scott Sunberg of Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures is applying for a conditional use permit about a half mile down Chilkat Lake Road with a plan to develop a winter recreation village and lodge on 20 acres at the site. Under the name Big Salmon Ventures, the property was purchased in 2007, and the company has been upgrading access to the property over the years, Sunberg writes in the conditional use application. Big Salmon Ventures proposes a helipad for the site as part of a larger multi-season ecotourism plan and winter village concept. Big Salmon would be run in conjunction with SEBA, but also provide lodging and other winter activities at the site once developed. It would provide other activities and excursions during other parts of the year. For now, Sunberg and business partner Nick Trimble are looking to begin with establishing the helipad at the site. The permit application states the company recently conducted decibel testing in the area and provided results of those tests in the application. Sunberg also invited anyone interested in touring the site out for a visit over the weekend. About a half dozen people took advantage of that opportunity. This isn't the first time the company has applied for a permit to establish a helipad in the area. In 2013, the Planning Commission and Assembly narrowly voted down an application for a helipad on a piece of nearby property. Also, at Thursday's meeting, the Planning Commission will take up two items for discussion. The Assembly requested the Planning Commission identify borough lands that could be put on the market for sale. And again, by request of the Assembly, the group will discuss and try to identify areas within the town site that are suitable to designate as a motorized park. The Haines Planning Commission meets on Thursday evening at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. The Haines Assembly and department heads met Monday for 4 hours as a kickoff to the borough budget season. Mayor Stephanie Scott opened the meeting, saying it was the first time the Assembly had met with all the department directors at once. Interim Manager Julie Causey and Mayor Scott had suggested the meeting as a pre-budget workshop to hear from each department about its primary needs and concerns before the manager submits her budgets and then the Assembly works through it. The prevailing theme of Monday's workshop was expected revenue shortfalls from the state and federal sources and basically flat revenue from local taxes. Among the departments, the greatest needs were mostly deferred maintenance of facilities and equipment. Causey presents the manager's budget to the Assembly by April 1st, and the Assembly has until June 15th to approve a budget. Crab boats in Southeast are waiting at least until Wednesday for the start of two lucrative commercial crab fisheries in the region. Fishing was scheduled to open at noon Monday for Golden King and Tanner Crab. However, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced a 24-hour delay on Sunday because of bad weather forecasted for the early part of this week. That was followed by another 24-hour delay announced Monday morning, pushing the scheduled start back to Wednesday at noon. The National Weather Service issued storm and gale warnings into Monday night, along with warnings for heavy freezing spray in parts of Southeast, where the fleet will be fishing. The overall guideline harvest level for Golden King crab in the region is just under 500,000 pounds. The biggest portions of that are in waters around Admiralty Island, including Stevens Passage, Frederick Sound, and Chatham Strait. Once crabbing does start, fishing remains open until the harvest levels in 7 areas of the northern panhandle are caught by the fleet. Last year, the overall catch of Golden King was over 510,000 pounds, caught by 33 permit holders. Some of the areas stayed open until the fall with little fishing effort. The average price last year was $10.10 a pound. As for Tanner crab, Fishing Game estimates there's 4 million pounds of mature male crab in the region, down a little from the department's estimate a year ago. The season length will be announced Tuesday, but it's at least 5 days long in the most popular crabbing areas. Last year, the 76 permit holders caught over 1.2 million pounds of Tanner crab. Average price for that catch was $2.27 a pound. The season could see further delays if the windy weather continues, but the new scheduled start for crabbing is noon on Wednesday. a bill that would continue and expand Alaska's tax credit for seafood processors installing new equipment, had support from the Parnell administration and the industry before going to the House Fisheries Committee on Thursday. Supporters said the legislation could help companies get more value out of the salmon and herring caught around the state. Joe Vicknicki reports.
House Bill 204 is sponsored by Alan Osterman of Kodiak. Peggy Wilson of Wrangell is a co-sponsor. It would extend a seafood processing tax credit beyond 2015 and would add processing machines for herring to the list of new equipment that would qualify for a tax credit. It would also add equipment for putting salmon in cans, different from the tall or short cans traditionally used by industry. Joe Jacobson, director of the state's Division of Economic Development, told the committee that the administration supported the measure. He said the tax credit promotes innovation in creating new seafood products and that diversification has helped weather price fluctuations.
You know, if you're going to many different countries and you have, you know, salmon burgers, you have canned salmon, you have salmon jerky, it just supports the price so that when one market of canned salmon in the UK dies, well, now you have a fillet market in the U.S., or you have a roe market in Japan or the Ukraine or other places, and it just kind of lessens the impact of individual markets that may go up or down because you're just building a broader portfolio of products that are spread out.
Jacobson said current salmon can sizes are out of touch with markets and consumers are asking for smaller sizes of canned fish. The bill would also provide the tax credit to companies that install equipment for making a product out of the fish scraps and waste. That was an important addition for Trident Seafood's Joe Plesha.
You know, one of the best ways to add value to Alaska's resources is obviously to produce a product from something that's now currently being ground up and discharged back into the water.
Plesha and others are concerned that the Environmental Protection Agency could start requiring some shore-based processing plants in Alaska to screen out the solid fish scraps from waste before it's pumped into the water, or even barge that waste out to the open ocean. Another industry representative, Tom Sunderland, vice president of marketing with Ocean Beauty Seafoods, said the tax credit has worked, and he agreed the market is calling for smaller sizes of canned fish.
This allows us to respond to the market pressure, which is a really big deal. We have to have it. Our customers are now expressing pretty urgent resistance to the prices that are necessitated by the current size of the can.
Others testifying at the hearing also like the inclusion of herring for the tax credit. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute's International Global Food Aid Director, Bruce Schockler, said herring was a big business elsewhere around the globe.
You can go over to Germany or places in Europe and you can see a display twice as long as this room on one wall that is nothing but herring products. So we get to thinking, well, why not? Why not us? And how about if we use the males?
Herring are caught in some fisheries in the state for their roe, so only the female egg-bearing fish are valuable on international markets. Julianne Curry of the industry group United Fishermen of Alaska also testified in support of the legislation.
This bill allows the processing sector to really encourage innovation within the processing sector, and it also allows the processing sector to provide incentives to respond to changing market demands.
The measure was held in the Fisheries Committee for another hearing. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
Southeast Alaska's developing mariculture industry was one of the topics mentioned during a joint news conference recently in Juneau, featuring officials from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the USDA Farm Service Agency. The news conference was part of Juneau's annual Innovation Summit and included Regional Forester Beth Pendleton, Deputy Undersecretary for USDA's Rural Development Patrice Kunesh, Sammy Savelle of the Natural Resources Conservation, and Daniel Constantine, Director of the USDA Farm Service Agency. Kunesh focused her remarks on USDA programs in Western Alaska, particularly programs that aim to help rural communities install water and sewage systems. In his remarks, Constantine noted that his agency has no employees in Southeast Alaska, but the Farm Service does try to support industry here, including mariculture startups.
We've heard this from the people of Southeast that the potential for job creation in the shellfish mariculture industry through oyster productions, through gooey duck, through other shellfish mariculture could help create jobs, particularly in rural areas. This is a kind of a an industry that's kind of a mom and pop. It requires a lot of kind of Alaskan ingenuity and resilience to live in some remote areas and produce these shellfish. And so the Farm Service Agency has helped through our loan program and through some other programs that we have to try to lower some of the costs of doing business.
Transporting materials, for example, can be prohibitively expensive for people trying to set up a shellfish farm in remote areas. Ketchikan is home to one shellfish farm, Oceans Alaska, which produces some of the shellfish seed used by the state's mariculture industry. There are oyster and geoduck farms in southeast Alaska, including remote parts of Prince of Wales Island. For KHNS Local News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicki and Lila Carey for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.